I was just, well, thanks for being here. And I'm sorry that Jeff's not here, he's sick, and so is Liz, and Clay too. Crud. And then as I was sitting, I was watching my breath and I realized, I can't force my breath from not coming into me, right? I mean, I could, but if I did, I'd be getting in the way of my breath coming into me. And so the title of my little Zen thread here is called The Impediment to Action Advances Action. What stands in the way becomes the way. And that's Marcus Aurelius. And last weekend, I participated in our Bodhi Day retreat. And I want to let you in on a secret. I suffer seizures. And I, along with Liz, was a retreat coordinator. We didn't have a cantor for the retreat. So the night before, I sat down with Sarah and said, what the heck, I'll do it. And so I stayed a little later than I had anticipated. And so I didn't sleep great that night, you know, because of anxiety of canting and being retreat coordinator and just retreat. And sleep is a big factor with seizures. We call resilience threshold. And lack of sleep contributes to this, it lowers your threshold. It can lower your threshold and increase the chance of a seizure. And sure enough, at some point during the morning, I suffered a partial seizure during the retreat. And I kept hoping, oh, let it pass before I have to say, prepare for the reading. and it did. And I've been dealing with this for so long now that I know how to work through them, to stay with them and to allow myself to move through them. To be with them, to even hug them and be kind in that moment. And am I scared in that moment when it happens? Oh, yes. Yes, I'm very scared. That never goes away. It's been over 10 years. Especially because there's always a chance of that local seizure, which is here, the side that affects the language.
Hey, Debbie. I can't hear you.
It can always cross over to this side, which is called a grand mal, and that's where you become unconscious and you kind of cause a scene. That's where the ambulance arrives. And so, I was worried I'd ruin the retreat. and I've done that before at a retreat. Anyway, when this first happened, I completely withdrew from life. I stopped coming here. And it was hard to move forward when this all came about. It became an impediment to my action. And in so many ways, I don't have time to go into that, but they caused a lot of suffering. I felt trapped. I even became housebound or agoraphobic. I don't know if anybody's ever suffered that, but that was bizarre. I didn't want to leave my house for 8 months, and it was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. And it felt like your life closes in so tight that you can barely breathe. I had been in life a firefighter, an athlete, a mother who pushed out her son in my dining room without pain medicine, and a strong belief that I can always do this. So I was totally devastated. My ego became totally rocked, which was good. It got it out of the way. I was weak in a way I had never been. I became so full of anxiety, I had to take addictive benzos to sleep. And when that wouldn't do anymore, they put me on amazing amounts of drugs to help. But none of it helped. It was all in the way of me living. don't even know how strong you are until we are forced to bring that hidden strength forward, says Isabella Allende, Chilean author. I began reading and reading and reading. It was a thirst I could not quench. It was like a madness. My best friend dubbed at that time that I was living in AU University, Agoraphobia University. I made the most of what was in the way. It became my way. I learned and learned. Sarah still worked with me. We did work on the phone. I discovered how Joan, our teacher, had been living with an illness as well, and she kept going. I read Tara Brach's Radical Acceptance. I read Jon Kabat-Zinn's Catastrophe Living. I discovered how women in remission from breast cancer have learned to show up fully in life, regardless of never ever knowing if the cancer will return. Learning of agoraphobes who'd been housebound for 20 years. Oh God, please no, I thought. I won't allow that. And I'm not kidding, 20 years one woman in one of my groups in her house. Push, push, push into what's in the way. Some days just waking and making it to the downstairs couch where I'd collapse and just breathe, breathe, breathe for hours, in, out, my heart, in, out, my heart. My dad got me a Roger Walters CD with the most memorable performance of Breathe I've ever seen. I want to bring this to Steve Milligan. And while I do also have Christianity in my life and do believe in hope, what I love about our tradition is to really be with the darkness when it arrives. With what Yunmin called the dark, dark in his koan of Human's Light. I don't give up, I never have. I've surrendered, and there's a difference. Greta Thunberg, the climate activist who just made Person of the Year on Time magazine, says that her disability is her superpower. And my disability is becoming my superpower. I didn't even realize it. So day after day, moment after moment, for 8 straight months, trapped in a house with what was in the way, allowing it to become my way. I hated it at days. I felt like a prisoner. I lost so much weight. I missed my friends and I missed my Sangha. And I even dreamed of my Sangha on a little boat out at sea, all of us. I missed my son. It was hard to be present with him. He was still so young, I had to hide a lot from him. Although a moment arrived where he had his first big performance as a musician. He was about 11. He's 17 now. My mom had been living with us to take care of me. She was also taking Aiden that night to a performance in which I was unable to drive him to, let alone go. And she looked at me and she said, "It's time you told him what's going on." And I realized that was in the way too of me living my life. And so I did in a soft way. I went into the fear and allowed for response, which became this action that led to the next action. And suddenly I said something I can't say out loud that I wrote here. This. And dressed quickly, stepped out of the house, and which, if you've suffered agoraphobia, is like stepping into an abyss, into the well. I fell into it and just kept going and drove with complete and utter fear. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Then I'm there at his performance and I feel free. And there's my son playing along with other young, beautiful performers. And it's the most glorious music I've ever heard. It's my star in the sky. I am free. Of course, it wasn't that easy, and there was a ton of relapsing for years afterwards, and a lot of anxiety, and not knowing and walking with my disability. And I want to read a poem. It's called Starfish by Mary Oliver. In the sea rocks, in the stone pockets, under the tide's lip, in the water dense as blindness, they slid like sponges, like too many thumbs. I knew this, and what I wanted was to draw my hands back from the water. What I wanted was to be willing to be afraid. But I stayed there. I crouched on the stone wall while the sea poured its harsh song through the sluices. While I waited for the gritty lightning of their touch, while I stared down through the tides leaving where sometimes I could see them, their stubborn flesh lounging on my knuckles. What good does it do to lie all day in the sun loving what is easy? It never grew easy, but at last I grew peaceful. All summer, my fear diminished as they bloomed through the water like flowers, like flecks of an uncertain dream, while I lay on the rocks, reaching into the darkness, learning little by little to love our only world. So finally, I'd like to offer you my help. If you bump into what seems to be in the way, I can tell you it's not really in the way, but I want you to know that if you bump into what's in the way, that I'm here for you to come to anytime. If it keeps you from showing up especially, it will probably, if something is in the way, it will probably never grow easy. However, you can grow peaceful. Keep sitting. Sit with what's in the way. Reach for the starfish Mary Oliver writes about. Reach for your bright star in the dark, dark sky. It's yours. It's calling you. And it's your life. Thank you.
Thank you. We still do have a little bit of time for any questions or anything that wants to be said.
So Debbie, so more than 10 years ago, I showed up, well, you showed up to me and we talked about my son who started having some generalized seizures.
Yeah.
And so thank you. Oh, that was very helpful.
I'm so glad.
For you to share your experience and for me to share mine.
Yeah.
And to be with my son during that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a misunderstood, mysterious. There's no cure for it. Mm-hmm. You can manage it, but it's...
Yeah.
I was touched, Debbie, when you said you didn't want to ruin the retreat and you didn't want this to happen. And I just went to this place that said, no, that's your brain doing something that isn't really in your control.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we all need to always be in that spot to just show up with it. You know?
If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Call the ambulance. Whoever. Whatever. I don't, you know.
Not that any of us like that.
Right. Push into it, though. That's what I encourage.
Those things that we can't say no, stop, don't happen.
Right. Like your stomach rumbling in the middle of a sit or pass some gas or whatever. Still sit. Don't go away. You'll never show, well, maybe you'll show up 100%, whatever that is, but that's what I've learned. It's just not going to happen, so don't miss out on this.
I think it's it's taught me when those things happen, like the stomach grumbling, just for example, it's like, that's a part of me. That's a part of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being human. And how interesting to stay with that sort of shame or embarrassment, you know, while it's happening. Mm-hmm. To stay, that too, that's part of me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just that realization, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just exactly what you're talking about. What's in the way becomes the way.
Yeah. And originally I thought, oh, we're going to do a yoga stretch. Because I always find it with that. Like, I got certified in a yoga called Kripalu, and it means compassion. And it's so interesting to watch people with yoga with, like, you know, oh, this is as far as I can go. But look at her. She's going this far. And it's so good to learn how to be really soft with yourself. And just be like, there's no shame, and I don't even care if it looks like this in your imagining. It's still beautiful, and just learning that, how to be soft and not go into that shame, or if you do go into shame, to notice it and just be soft and love yourself and just so grateful that you even get to show up, right, in life.
Mm-hmm. Last night I went to a Multiple Sclerosis Alliance fundraiser, and it was with a jazz quartet, and they were playing at a coffee house. I have multiple sclerosis, but mine's very mild. And there was a very young woman who was 28, and she sat down next to me. And when you saw her, because multiple sclerosis can present in many ways, you would have thought she had Down syndrome. She walked funny, she had a hard time talking, real vision problems and stuff, and a lot of balance issues. And not everybody that was there had multiple sclerosis, but a bunch of them did. And it was beautiful to see them all there, but she was the light of the evening. I mean, she got up and danced, and the joy that she had was just beautiful to be around. So yeah, show up.
Mm-hmm.
Show up.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you, Debbie. I rushed off from Pueblo without my hearing aids, so I apologize for being somewhat deaf today. But so I couldn't hear what started the problem. You described something happening to you, I think, and I couldn't get it that kicked this agoraphobia off in the whole thing. But what was that?
It was a brain bleed I had into September 11, 2005. And then I had seizures after that. And so on one in particular seizure in 2013, I did not recover well. And medicines really got mixed up. And I don't know. I think it was a dark night of the soul journey, actually. I choose to look at it like that. And I became housebound for some weirdo reason. I think to keep me put so I could discover that what was in the way became my way.
Mm-hmm.
When I reflect. But.
Thanks. That's some. It's amazing, amazing story.
Thank you. We can share more over pancakes.
That's right.
We can share more over pancakes.
Okay.